I am not on this beach. I see the waves and hear them smashing against the shore. I can even taste the salt on my lips and feel the grains of sand between my toes. I breathe in deep and for a few moments even believe that the crisp, fresh air is filling my lungs. I close my eyes and tilt my head back like a sunflower to the sky, letting the sun's heat soak into my skin and turn the darkness into the deep pink of my eyelids. But I'm not choosing to do any of this. I'm just going through the motions now, and it's not enough. There's the dog barking right on cue, the sound of his panting getting louder as he closes in. The first time this happened, I thought Basalt was going to crash into me, but now I know he is racing past. As I open my eyes again, I see him, all wet fur and exuberance as he plunges into the surf and barks. Stupid dog, I think affectionately yet again. But unlike the first time, when he stank the car out on the way home, I feel a terrible longing to be with him.
Mama!
I turn to face my daughter, her chubby legs paddling in the shallows, arms stretched up so her little hands can hold onto her father's thumbs. Are you paddling, Mia?
Mama!
I can't see her face beneath the ridiculous sun hat's frills, but I can see Charlie's face already going pink, despite the sun cream. His ginger hair is already bleached white blonde in places, and the freckles across his nose are a deeper browny orange than they were a month ago. He's watching Mia, smiling at her staccato steps and the way her legs jerk up, forward, and down, the walking too new to be smoothed into an easy gait. "We should have come here before," he says. "Mia loves it." I look away, seeking the horizon. We couldn't come before, but I won't say it. And the reason we're here isn't as pure as he thinks it is. It's not for Mia. It's for me. Selfish as ever, I wanted to come to this beach and make the recording to capture something precious. Something to take with me.
Anna?
Charlie looks at me, and I smile like everything is fine. I can see him searching my face for any signs of brittleness. We are reduced to this. Even when I smile, he worries. We should go, I say. You're starting to burn.
I'll put on my hat.
He lifts Mia out of the surf and earns a squeal of delight as he swings her across the sand ahead of him while taking giant strides. I watch them go back to the towel and the remains of the picnic and listen to the babbles that Mia makes as they go. I crouch, scooping up a palmful of sand so I can examine the grains and tiny shells. It's easier than watching my family. I know the first time I did this, I was wondering when to tell them. How Charlie would take the news that I was leaving. I was lining up the arguments, ready to fling back at his inevitable anger and distress. Those thoughts weren't recorded, though. Just what I saw and smelled and touched and heard. Using my lenses to zoom in on the sand grains, I study the tiny shapes and colours that only magnification can reveal. I let most of the sand fall through my fingers and zoom in again on the specks left stuck to my skin. They resolve into the calcified shells of organisms that once lived in the sea, chips of coral and a peach-coloured fragment of shell. Minuscule lumps of olivine have been tumbled smooth by the violence of the ocean, along with a few specks of quartz. Even as I studied the microscopic world in my palm, I knew I should have gone over to Mia and Charlie. But I tried recording them close up during the picnic, and I kept wanting to cry. I don't want to spoil today. I've done that too many times. I did that too many times. I didn't want to spoil that day on the beach. It was supposed to be perfect. But it is not enough. I brush the last grains of sand from my hands, just like all the other times, and look down the coastline. I cannot help but identify the different strata of rock exposed in the cliffs. It's impossible to ignore the booming sound of the sea in a nearby cave that's been carved out by so many thousand years of relentless energy from the waves. Farther down the coastline, I see a stack of rock left standing in the sea, now looking like it was never once part of the cliff. Shading my eyes, I stare at it, imagining the way the sea beat against its former connection to the headland, how it bludgeoned the softer rock and made it crumble. I picture a rugged hole between it and the rest of the cliff, a gaping wound where the sea has smashed space between the stack and its source, a thin bridge of rock, all that's left joining it to the land. Then I imagine that last connection collapsing, the roar of the rock plummeting into the sea, the stack left stranded out on its own.
Anna, Charlie calls. Come and have a drink.
I look at him and Mia, the stretch of sand between us, and feel as if my legs are rooted in place. I simply cannot cross the distance between us.
I'm fine, thanks,
I call, and turn back to the ocean. Like all immersives, even full sensory memory recordings get stale. I have echoes of the feelings that flooded me when I recorded this day, triggered by the associated neural pathways being lit up by my chip's playback, but weaker than when I first came back and sank into this recording. Those pathways have been distorted by all the other emotions experienced in the months since, not just diluted, but fundamentally changed, like those chips of olivine. The playback of this day on the beach has been tumbled by the wash of my thoughts and emotions, its sharp edges smoothed, its original raw shape softened. And now there is a new emotion being added to the churn, one I am trying my best to ignore. I am afraid.